Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Sound Heart Radio. Today's topic is entitled, Being Made Conformable Unto the Death of Jesus. I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to start, we're going to look particularly at verses 9 and 10. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, Paul gives a summary, as it were, of his background. And he is looking at his background from the perspective of the cross. He is not looking at his background from the subjective perspective of religious humanism. Paul is way beyond that. He now can look back upon his background as the practice of the ways of the flesh, the pride of the flesh, the three enemies of every believing one is given to us in the Word of God as the lust of the eyes, the epithumia of the ophthalmos, that is, the lust of the eyes, the epithumia of the sarx, or of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so Paul can look back upon his background, excuse me, at this point, from the perspective of the cross and see how he was immersed in the values of the cosmos. He can see that his life was immersed in the values of the world, that he was his eye and his entire life was captured by the temporal realm. And so later on, as Paul matured in his theology, in his Christology, he could say, while we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so his perception has been cleansed through the blood of Christ. His self-consciousness has been made new in Christ. And so no human systems of psychology, no human definitions of psychopathology, no human solutions as far as some recipe with regard to counseling, some algorithm that has been prepackaged alongside of psychoactive medication is within the theology of Paul. His perspective is brand new. He knows that life is made new through the power of the indwelling spirit. He knows that the Spirit of God has not been a benign or passive element in his life. He understands the Spirit of God to indeed be eternal personality. He knows that God is in the business of giving new life. You go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, or in the Hebrew it reads, God in the beginning. Once again in the Hebrew, we read that a sheaf of our Elohim. God, in the beginning, God created. The verb bara, B-A-R-A, that is used in the Genesis narrative, is only used in the scripture with regard to divine activity. It is never used of human activity. Paul understood in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 the power of the Word of God. And so Paul states emphatically and decisively that it is God who changed our lives through the power of His Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so Paul realizes that he has now been made privy, or he has been given access to a new epistemology, a new theory of knowing. Paul, yes, was trained in rabbinics and philosophy, so therefore he knew Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. He also knew Greek philosophy, which stated, "Know thyself." Paul understood religion and theology. And so his encounter with the living Christ was something radically different from the old life, from the old way of being. Paul understood this. And so he knew that after he had met Jesus, during that decisive encounter on the road to Damascus, that he had been made new. And God smote him to the ground, and God placed scales over his eyes so that Paul could stop seeing with his eyes. And God taught Paul to see through his eyes. We learn to see through our eyes when we come to God. To see through one's eyes and not merely with one's eyes means that now one has divine viewpoint, divine perspective. And the Samson narratives, or the Samson cycle of stories, we read about Samson himself, whose life exemplified Rea, R-A-A-H in Hebrew, Rea, which means he was a person driven by what he saw. The writer there skillfully elucidates the life of the flesh, the life of the sarx, or in the Hebrew, Besar. This is a man who lived by what he saw. And when he was finally captured by the farmers who arrested him and then put out his eyes, you say the Philistines. The Hebrew reads foreigners. He put out his eyes. It was when his eyes were put out that he could see. He finally could see. And he was liberated from his flesh. The Bible is indeed a very powerful book. And it is not one to be taken lightly. It is not one, a book from which we, people do it. We won't go there today. But understand Paul's perspective, his understanding of what his new relationship was with Christ. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul states, beginning at verse 9, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness. See, Paul had understood righteousness from the perspective of a Pharisee. Take a look at verse 6 in Philippians chapter 3. Not having my own righteousness, a righteousness that is right from one's own works. See, Isaiah would write that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And in the Hebrew, in Isaiah, the reference is to that of menstrual clause used by females. And he found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith Christ. Now, in the Greek, there is an article before the noun Christ. So it should be, which is through the faith of the Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. What is this righteousness? Well, it is the imputed righteousness of Christ that Paul understood that changed his life. He was imputed, or the righteousness of Christ is reckoned to his account. Verse 10, Paul states that I may know him and the power of his, or the resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his. This is an interesting word in the Greek. Conformable here means to assimilate. To assimilate the death of Christ. What does this mean? Honestly, I don't completely understand it. And yes, I've studied it over the years, but I don't completely understand this cognitively. But Paul is not here speaking of mere cognitive information. Paul is here speaking of an experiential reality. That is his desire. And so here, in this very important verse, verse 10, Paul is speaking about experimental Christology. Now, one can read Christology in books and the viewpoint of Christology from different theologians, who quote other theologians, who quote other theologians, but this man lived out his faith. Read the book of Acts about the activity of Paul and read his 13 letters, and one can see that this man was indeed a theologian who placed himself in situ. The situations are very powerful, in which we see the work of the Spirit of God in his life. He was stoned and dragged out his as dead and left for dead. This man got up and went back into that city because they had destroyed him because of his message. He got back up again, and he went into that city and finished preaching. And then he left on his own terms. This is the attitude and the heart of Paul. To be all that Christ wanted him to be. Now, after his post-teaching event, he went back into that city and he finished preaching the word of God. And then after he was done with what God wanted him to do, not with what the people wanted him to do, imagine. Standing there, and they'll see Paul again standing there after they had taken, believed that they had stoned him to death. He is standing there again, preaching and teaching the word of God, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, read Paul, study Paul, read the book of Acts. And the last word in the book of Acts is unhinderedly. This word of God cannot be hindered. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.